and it has its own microphone and speaker in it, and sometimes
I know that.
Yeah, Windows is funny that way, where it decides that it's going to pick the sound from one thing and the microphone from another and blah, blah, blah. So I just disconnected everything and went right back to the laptop. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, that works too. I mean, you can mess with that in the Discord settings as well, but sometimes mm-hmm. it's just easier to be just like, nope, forget it. Ah.
Yeah, I was like, timing is like, you knew I was on, but I'm like, I can't hear him and I can't talk to him. So
things are broken and they should not be broken. And why are they broken?
Yeah, yeah. So simple fix, just disconnect everything.
Well, welcome back to another episode of Scouting Stuff You Should Know. You've got two of us again this evening. Scouter Colin is at that end of the internet.
Hello.
And I'm Scouter Ken, and I'm at this end of the internet. Good to talk to you again, good sir. It's been a little while.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny how the days just clip on by when you're not doing anything but doing things. Like...
Right. Like, it's February. Why is it the middle of February already?
I know, right? Like, oh,
there's,
man.
There's another month at the start of the year. What happened to that?
Yeah, exactly, right?
My gosh. Yeah, no. Yeah, I don't even know. It's just been nuts.
Are you enjoying this seasonable weather we're having at the moment?
You mean our annual deep freeze minus 40?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, good riddance to the pine beetles, and, you know, they're welcome to die. It should also drive off the raccoons that have evidently been encroaching into the area. So, you know, it's what it is. I will say, my Mazda 3 starts like a champ in this weather. It's hilarious.
Oh, really? Well, that's good.
Yeah, 2 years ago now, we were out at Funorama. It would have been around this time, actually. Yeah, it's always at the start of February. So 2 years ago, we were out at Funorama, and, like, it's funny because, like, last year we got the deep freeze kind of in late January. Normally it happens about now, right? Kind of at the start of February.
Yep.
And so 2 years ago, we had the deep freeze, like, right when Funorama was happening. It was like minus 40 something, just ridiculous. And there was my car parked out in the snow for literally like 2 days straight.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's guys pulled up next to me who've got, like, their massive, you know, F-350s or 3500 series diesel truck, obviously kitted out for, like, oil field work or, you know, other kinds of, like, tool intensive work, you know, massive, mm-hmm. massive rigs. And they are running around on Sunday after we're packing up, desperately trying to find, like, block heater cords and whatever else that will extend to, you know, like, the two power outlets on the building 400 meters away, because their trucks won't start. And there's my Mazda. Wheeze, turns over.
Yeah.
Damn thing starts in just about anything.
Well, that's good. I was going to say, I've always found that I run synthetic oil in my truck.
Yeah.
And the only thing that will hamper a cold weather start is an old battery. Not necessarily a cold battery, but like, if it gets cold, yes, but if it's old, that's usually what does it in for my truck. So I've had good luck leaving my vehicle for a couple of days and then going out and clicking it over, and it's stiff. It most definitely doesn't want to go, but it still turns over a couple of times and then fires right up. So
right.
I take it as a win.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's, it's just, you know, it's one of the, I still remember having a conversation with a friend of mine some years ago, right? And again, it was, you know, around this time of year, and it was, again, just stupid cold outside. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, I just kind of made the throwaway comment, oh, wait, we'll be right back, Joe. I got to plug in my car. And I get back to our Skype chat, and he's just like, I'm really proud of you. I didn't know you'd gone to, like, an electric vehicle.
Oh, like, no.
No, no, dude. Oh, right. Yeah, sorry. You you live where engine block heaters aren't a necessity.
That's right.
Yeah, I had to actually explain the principle of the engine block heater to him because it was just not a thing there. So there you go. But anyways, and yeah, other than that, geez, actually, it's been crazy. I got to admit, it didn't start crazy. Oh, right. This is why I completely forgot about the rest of January. It didn't start crazy. January started off, you know, very nice, calm.
Yeah.
Work was kind of just rolling along. I had a couple of minor little projects here and there.
Yeah.
And then one of my coworkers quit. And I mean, like, I understand his reasons for doing so. You know, like he'd been in the industry for, well, much longer than I have. And he just hit a point that he couldn't, you know, get past. And I totally understand that. Still have a great deal of respect for him. I inherited a goodly number of his projects. Including the one that actually made him decide to quit.
Oh, lovely.
So, yeah, all of a sudden my not that busy turned into really, really crazy busy because of course now I'm juggling, two or three major, well, one significant project, which actually will have me out in Saskatchewan next week. And then another related project that will possibly see me down in Airdrie at some point. I don't know about that necessarily. But it's the same company and it's sort of related developments.
Oh, okay.
And then sort of the third one, which is this this project that, you know, was like that was it for him. And that one's coming along as well. It's just, you know, finding time to get it done alongside the other stuff, which is also like due, and you know, especially with like the Saskatchewan work. I mean, obviously, like I have to be on site next week, which means that I have to have certain amounts of preparation done this week. So it's like, okay, there's been a lot of emails back and forth, basically saying, "Look, I'll have the thing, just I need a little time."
Yeah.
Unfortunately, everybody's been very, very understanding, and I mean, you know, my supervisor, this coworker, have been very supportive. And it's nothing that I can't handle, but it was just kind of interesting how quickly it turned from, you know, a relatively calm and copacetic January to a rather frantic February.
Yes.
And then on top of that, Scouts Canada decided that we could get back to doing in-person meetings. So, ha.
Yeah. Well.
How about you? How's been things?
Busy, I guess. Like I don't. My days just kind of clip by, so it's a lot of. I think I'm doing more outside of regular business hours than I have been before. In the sense that I'm still conducting work, but outside of work, you know, your traditional work hours. Right. So I'm because I'm set up at home. I can facilitate technical support from to our overseas clients better.
Right.
Because, just send me an email. Let me know that you want to get on the phone and we'll set something up. And I'm working from home, so it's easy for me to just walk over to the office room and plunk down in front of a computer and away I go. Facilitating it's also doing video technical support, which is something that I never had really thought of doing before, but necessity is the mother of invention, I guess. So the fact that I need to see it makes me ask for like that aspect of things. It's like, oh, hey, do you have a smartphone? Are you connected to Wi-Fi? Can we get on a video conference connection? And can you show me what's going on? And I can walk them through what I would do for troubleshooting and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's different, but it keeps me busy. So, I mean, that's kind of where I've been at for the most part.
That's where that's at. Yeah. Well,
I've done a couple of trips out to Lacombe, so.
Ah, fun times.
Yeah. I'm setting up some long-range testing. So
gotcha.
So periodically, so that'll be my life for the next probably few months anyways, is a weekly pilgrimage or maybe every 2 weeks out to Lacombe to just check on things, move things around, you know, change a variable, that kind of stuff. So we'll see what happens.
Cool. Yeah. I mean it's kind of, it's a little less cool, of course, because we can't, like, you know, you can't stop in necessarily and grab a bite to eat somewhere. But Lacombe does have some good eats when things are not completely imploding.
Well, I mean, you can always take out. So that's kind of a good thing. So, well, I've done that, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Cool. Well, so I had a thought about what I wanted to talk about. Sure. And this might be a shorter topic, but I was going through the boxes, as I sometimes do, and I found my old, and you might still have yours, I imagine, kicking around, the old field book for Canadian Scouting.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I recall seeing it. I don't know if I've seen it recently, but yes, I know the book for which you speak.
And, yeah, I mean, I just, it got me thinking that, like, I know why Scouts Canada sort of decided to pull back on the field book, you know, why they decided to sort of de-emphasize the reliance on, well, just printed text in general, right? Like, I mean, Scouts Canada has moved a lot of stuff online. Mm-hmm. And I get that. There's times where I wish that I had something like that, that I could put in the hands of the Cubs and the Scouts.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I mean, yeah, in a way I think it would be good if I could just rely on them to internalize a lot of the stuff that the field book would cover. Knots and shelter building and how to take care of your knife and all of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think it is still good to have those things in one collected place for reference. And it's not that those resources don't exist and they aren't available on, it's not that they aren't available mm-hmm. online. They do and they are. But it got me thinking that, you know, admittedly what got me thinking, and I can't remember the person's name, but there was a story that I saw in the news, you know, you were talking about the cold.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was a story of like a driver whose car, his vehicle had like stalled out or whatever and had gone missing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, this is not good weather to go missing in.
Mm-hmm.
And there are things that you can do in this kind of weather to increase your chances of coming out of this kind of weather alive. Some of that, ideally, you should do before you embark on your trip. And some of it, of course, would only pertain to, you know, what to do if things went poorly with your trip.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there are things that you can do in situations like that to survive, even if it is ridiculously cold outside. But what happens sometimes is in those moments when stuff's gone wrong and, you know, maybe you're panicking a little bit, it's hard to remember them, even if you know them in your head. It's sometimes hard to remember them. And so it's nice to just be able to have that handy reference,
mm-hmm.
not just as a collection of printed sheets that are a jumble in your backpack, but, you know, mm-hmm. there's something about having them all collected and collated into a book that makes them a little bit easier to utilize, I think. And, you know, plus that, I mean... Depending on what model of phone you have and depending on how much battery capacity it had when you left home, accessing internet-based resources in a moment of crisis may not be a thing that you're able to do, right?
Yeah. Well, and also depending on your adventure or where you're headed, there are places that don't have good cellular coverage, if any.
That is true too. And I mean, like, we're a little bit fortunate here in Alberta in that in general, for much of the province, we do have reasonably good cellular coverage, but you know, you get out that thank oil patch, and gas fields. That's really the only reason why. Right. And yeah, you get into other provinces, you know, this far north than any other province in Canada, and you'd be lucky to have consistently good signal.
Yeah. The only place in Alberta that I know of consistently poor reception, but I guess that depends on the carrier.
A little bit. Yeah.
TELUS is pretty good coverage around the province. I've had spotty reception with Bell, and I've had spotty reception with Rogers. But I don't know, that might have changed. It's been, you know, it's been probably now 6 years since I was deep in the I wouldn't say deep. Where I was up near Conklin, and you get off the highway and you're on those back roads, and yeah, there's nothing. It's dead.
Yeah. And yeah, like I mean, I'm on Bell, and yeah, like I can think of spots where I've, had poor signal. And I mean, like, you can go to any of the carriers' websites, yeah, and you can see, you know, like what their coverage is. And it's kind of funny. I like doing that. It's kind of funny to me because Alberta does actually stick out like a sore thumb, right?
Mm. You know? Yes.
You actually go and look at the coverage maps. You're like, hey,
we are very well covered.
Yeah. It's like, hey, I can make out almost the entire province by shape just based on the coverage map.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, no, for sure. But yeah, I mean, there are places where the coverage is not the best.
Mm-hmm.
And there are places where it's just it's not so much places, I guess. What am I trying to say here? There's, you know, in addition to the fact that, you know, there are places where you don't have coverage, there's also the fact that, you know what, batteries only last so long. They last less long when it's cold. And it's kind of, it's nice sometimes to have those physical pocket-sized references that you can turn to in those moments of crisis. Because, yes, I mean, ideally, you know, we'll have access to tech, but we don't always. Ideally, the tech will work, but it doesn't always. But a book,
muscle memory or mental memory is only so good as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, ideally you have trained on this stuff. You know, ideally you have committed a lot of this stuff to memory, and under normal conditions could recite it from memory or do it from memory. But yeah, I mean, the moment of crisis, maybe you can't. And sometimes it's just nice to have that reference to turn to. Still, I get, you know, I mean, maintaining and updating the field book, like that is an expensive venture, which is not something that Scouts Canada needs to be undertaking right now, is sort of, you know, this year over year constant, or, you know, even less than year over year, but, you know, sort of these periodic refreshes of the content of a book and then doing another print run of the book. And then, of course, you know, people have to buy the book, and if they don't, well, so I get it. But I also miss it. And, you know, I mean, yes, I can give my daughter all the printouts in the world, and they will end up looking like any other printout that she gets at school. And school has largely gone digital for her, but she still does get, you know, occasional printed sheets or workbooks, and most of them ended up crumpled in her backpack, you know, and not in order anymore. And I was the same way when I was 12. So, you know, like, there's an argument there, I think, for book. And I mean, if you could find a field book for Canadian scouting for sale on like eBay or wherever, snap it up. It's a great reference guide. It really, really is. If you can't, I did have a few other thoughts. And now one of these, and I mean, like, I'm not really trying to shill products here, but these are just a few things I've tripped over the last little while. One, and this one's kind of more appropriate for like beaver or maybe cub age to a degree. But it's Ranger Rick's Kid's Guide to Camping.
Oh.
I tripped over this one a while back actually my cousin sent it to me. And you'll know it's the right book because It's got a really thick front cover with a little compass embedded in it.
Neat.
And yeah. And I mean, like, it's a much more simple presentation. So, and I believe it's a little bit more US centric, although it does talk about like Canadian national parks as well. But, and I think you can pick it up for $20 or $25. Mastermind Toys sometimes carries it. If you're shopping like in a place where there's Mastermind Toys, it's on Amazon. And so it talks about, you know, where can I go? Places you can go camping. What gear do I need? How do I make a camp? What will I eat? What else can I do? Mm-hmm. It's not super comprehensive, but it does talk about, you know, when should I go? It talks about, you know, the challenges of camping in the different seasons. What gear do I need? Summer tent, three-season tent, four-season tent. Check the labels on your tent. If you're looking at a three-person self, can you imagine yourself and two other friends and three sleeping bags in that tent? Do you have enough room? If you think you feel cramped in a three-man tent, hint, you will always feel cramped in a three-man tent. Get the four-man tent instead. Right out of the book. It talks a little bit about, like, it gives a couple of ideas on how you can make your own shelters, too, if you really need to. Talks about how to choose the right sleeping bag for the weather. Talks about, you know, other things that you should carry in your backpack. And this is kind of one of the things that sort of prevents me from just giving this out to all my beavers is that, of course, you know, like in the section where it's like odds and ends, what gear do I need? Always carry a pocket knife. I agree that this is good advice, but I'm not allowed to actually tell my Cub Scouts that they should always carry a pocket knife at a scouting event.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's definitely written for about that cub age of kids. Some of the older beavers could probably get a decent amount of use out of it. Talks a little bit about how to dig a latrine if you need to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how to find or purify water. Some mm-hmm. campfire cooking that you can do. Like, it's just a generally decent little book for
things that you need to know when you're out and about.
Yep. And it's small enough that it would just, you know, tuck away nicely in a backpack, right? Good little reference mm-hmm. to have while, mm-hmm. You know, just in general, right? For like I say, any cub-aged youth, I think, would get a really good, get a lot of value out of this. Just having it on hand, right? Because, I mean, like, even if it's just something that they sort of read and then they kind of keep in their backpack, my cubs have always been very, very, very keen. I've noticed there's always been, like, a core of keeners in the cubs who, if you have reference books like this available to them, you know, whenever they need to, they will just like sit and digest it. So there's one thing. I'll maybe put a link in the show notes because that's it's worth recommending, I think. I hope it's still in print. It was last time I looked. Another one. Now this one, I don't know if it's still in print anymore. But like I remember having a copy at one point of the SAS Survival Guide, which is definitely, you know, sort of more for the experienced and advanced user, but it covers a lot of the same things and it gets into even more detail about, like, you know, bushcraft and you know, identifying animal tracks and, like, you know, the knots, edible and medicinal, poisonous plants. It also gets into like sea creatures and identifying snakes, and there's Morse code and stuff in there, and it's got a lot. Like, it is for definitely for more advanced users, right? You know, your senior scouts and your vents and mm-hmm. rovers. But mm-hmm. that is still kind of the, I think, you know, in terms of just like that one still sticks out in mind as like one of the best in terms of, you know, again, just like pocket sized survival guide that you can just, you know, keep in your backpack at all time. And,
well, it looks like it's still in print. It. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, the SAS Survival Handbook. Yep. Originally published in 1986, for all those that were wondering.
Yeah, I remember I picked up a copy. I think I left it at my folks' place, though. But I picked up a copy. You remember when Save On Foods had a bookstore? Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to do a lot of book shopping at Save On Foods, actually. Another time. So that was another one. And then the other one that I tripped over, and this one a fellow scouter gave to me. And it's funny because if you actually go to the company website, so these are by UTS, Ultimate Survival. Okay. So they're at ultimatesurvival.com. If you go to their website though, you can't find these.
Oh.
But if you go to the Cabela's website, you can find the whole set. They're $5 for each set. And they're called the Learn and Live cards. And they're basically they're business card sized, and mm-hmm. there's like a bunch of them in each. I don't know what I'd call it. Like it's just a card deck, right? And those, mm-hmm. so there's maybe like 10 cards per deck, mm-hmm. And they're split out by topics. So they have stuff on like animal tracking and how to pack a bug out bag and how to identify clouds, how to build a fire, how to do first aid stuff. Stuff you can do with paracord,
shelters,
primitive cooking, shelter building, stargazing, survival fishing, wayfinding. Yep. Cabela's carries these. And like I say, they're $5 a deck. And so, you know, like the wayfinding one, it talks about types of compasses. It talks about what a bearing is. Talks about how to use a compass with a map, plotting courses, navigating around obstacles, some comparative notes on, you know, magnetic north versus true north, analog versus digital compasses, etc. versus GPS. So, you know, and again, these, I have a full set and I just throw it in whatever my work backpack is going to be for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I really expect to get into so much trouble going into downtown Edmonton that I'll need to build my own fire and wayfind my way back home. I'm pretty sure I'll be okay. But you know, like when I was traveling more, and at some point I will be traveling again, right? Further mm-hmm. than Saskatchewan. And these always went with me, right? Just, you know, because again, like it's stuff that I know, but it's nice to just have them, right? Because then it's like, you know, if I suddenly like end up in a situation, I'm just like, okay, hang on. Just, you know what? I'm just going to pull out the card deck and read. And, you know, sometimes even just that action can calm you down enough. Just having the reference can calm you down enough to get your brain working right again. So yeah, that was the other one.
Or you just have that trigger or that mental cue to get everything firing again. Yeah.
Yep. I always remember Scouter Eric when he's teaching his med vents. He always talks about putting on his gloves. He's like, for me, that's my first thing. It's like, if I come in a situation and for whatever reason, I feel like I'm freezing up, I stop and I put on my gloves. Mm-hmm. That's my first step. And I know that's my first step. And if I can get mm-hmm. that done, then the rest starts to fall into place.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, kind of like this as well. It's like, okay, shoot, what do I do in this situation? Well, you know what? Hang on. Let me just read on this for a minute. And then, maybe you can reset your thinking and get yourself back into a place where you can, come back in one piece.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we want anybody to just rush out there and find a dangerous situation to get themselves trapped in and out of again. But,
I believe that's the goal, is not to do that.
Yes. But if you should find yourself in that situation, the goal is to come out of that situation on your own two feet.
Yes.
And there are, you know, that's the motto, right? Be prepared. And this is part of that, right? Is, you know, ideally we, the scouters, are teaching you good things, teaching you helpful and beneficial things that, you can leverage. And ideally you're going to come through the scouting program and you should know some basics about how to care for a knife and at least have enough of a grasp of how to tie a couple of knots, to fashion yourself a simple shelter if it should come to that. But if for whatever reason, going on outdoor adventures is going to be something that you do outside of the context of scouting or in addition, to, you know, whatever you get up to with your scouts, when again, we can have long overnight outdoor adventures again, having some sort of reference guide is probably a good idea. And like we used to have one as part of the program materials for scouting, and we still have a lot of those materials available online, but if you want something that's a little bit more throw it in your backpack friendly, so it's there, you know, you can kind of, even if you throw it in your backpack and forget about it, it's still one of those things that's there when all of a sudden you actually need it then, right?
Mm-hmm.
Printed sheets are just, they're not as friendly for that, I find. Although, interestingly, there is an SAS Survival Guide app Which is cool. Like, I mean, pick it up if you want, but you know, again, having the paper copy is a little bit more friendly in situations where the phone battery is almost dead or the phone signal is just not there.
Mm-hmm.
That was all I really wanted to touch on, was like those three things. I'm sure there's more out there, and I invite anybody listening to, you know, send in their suggestions. We'll happily discuss that in a future episode. I don't know if you have any off the top of your head that you're just like, ooh, this one too.
No, I was always a big fan of that field book when I was going through the scouting program.
I gotta say, Scouts BSA still has a handbook.
Yeah.
And it is also quite excellent.
Mm.
If ever I get to go back to anywhere in the US with a scout shop, I intend to pick one up.
The one that crosses my mind more so than anything is the Northern Bushcraft book. And that's not really a field book so much as it is. It's just kind of a fun book to peruse. So,
Morris Kachansky.
Yeah.
Morris Kachansky.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man, I remember when we went on that camp, that was hardcore.
Well, yeah, that's probably the most survival camping, as close to survival camping as you're going to get. Short of actually going someplace without finding yourself in a bad situation where you're intentionally going out and doing survival stuff as opposed to inadvertently finding yourself in a need to be in a survival situation.
Yeah. Yeah. I just remember walking across the lake to get to that one.
Mm-hmm.
The ice kind of there were a couple of really big cracks. You could that reverberated all the way across the lake. Ooh. And you could see like some little critters swimming around under the ice. Muskrat swimming around under the ice. Morris Kachansky, he was quite the character. And yeah, his book is a pretty good reference for, if you do wind up having to stay a while in the wilderness, or if you choose to wander out into the wilderness on your own.
Well, some things to keep in mind while wandering. Like, I know in our winter camp experience, you know, we went for that hike with Morris, and he is just busy. Every few steps, he'd, you know, wander off into the brush and come back out with some twigs from spruce trees, and he'd just keep doing that. And, you know, half an hour walk, you know, an hour it was like half an hour of walking. He turned around and looked at us and he says, "I've got my twig bundle, where's yours?" And I literally, I don't know if you remember this, Ken, but he had an armful, like a double armful in front of him. Like where he, and they were long twigs or branches. They were from his shoulder down to about his knee anyways. And he broke them all in half and made this just a giant twig bundle. And he lit it and we were all warm, like right away. And he's like, so that's something to keep in mind while if you're out walking, or like if you're lost in the woods and you realize that you need to, you know, A, find your way out, and B, get a fire going to stay warm. Start collecting fuel as you go, right? So
makes sense. And you know, it's funny because you know what's funny to me about that? Walk with any 3-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Walk outdoors with any 3-year-old and every stick. Now, to be fair, it's a little bit different with a 3-year-old. They will pick up every stick they see, but you dare not light it on fire because it is their priceless treasure.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
But, you know, the principle is definitely there. That's a good point.
It was just that's one of the things that stuck with me, along with like the shelter building practices and that kind of stuff.
Well, it's a mentality thing, right? You know, you you just sort of have to put yourself into this mode of thinking of, you know, it's like, okay, I'm in the outdoors now. what do I have to do a little differently?
Yep.
Ah, indeed. Well, I say a bit shorter episode this week, but that's okay. As you can imagine, there's plenty that I have to divert my attention to before I go to bed tonight.
Yes.
But speaking of outdoor activities, and I think we haven't mentioned this on the podcast, on the regular episodes. I know it's been in Scouting 5 at least once, but I've had an update from Jean-Philippe Toronsky, who is a scouter with the 36th Ottawa Cubs. And he just wanted to give us a little bit of an update on their ongoing winter challenge. So of all the feedback that they've received so far, and this was as of February 4th, so 5 days ago, I'm assuming it's gone up since then. But their group, evidently, is up to 288 kilometers of hiking.
Oh, nice.
121 of cross-country skiing, and 97 of skating. Evidently, the canal has opened up where they are, so they're bound to log more skating kilometers in the near future. And he says there is still 2 months left to go in the challenge, so, you know, everybody, by all means, do feel free to get out there. And if for whatever reason you've forgotten what the challenge happens to be, let me just see if I can pull it up here when my computer is not being terribly sluggish. Right. So the 36th Ottawa Cubs have issued this challenge to Cub Scouts across Canada. Realistically, if you've got Cub Scouts anywhere in the world and it's got winter weather there, feel free to attempt this. But by the end of March, they challenge you to try and hike 50 kilometers or ski 100 kilometers or skate 75 kilometers or cycle 200 kilometers. Mm-hmm. Obviously, these are cumulative distances. I don't expect any cub to do what I do and, you know, try and cycle from Edmonton to Vermilion in a single go, because that's almost 200 kilometers. And, you know, obviously, winter adventures, check the weather, ensure that you have prepared adequately for whatever journey you're about to embark upon, bring extra gear, food, water, whatever you need, dress adequately. And yeah, if you are pursuing this challenge, then by all means, feel free to let us know here at the podcast. Or I think the 36th Ottawa has a few online social media presences. If you can find them online, you can reach out to them as well. But you know what? Let us know. We'll happily relay your numbers to them to let them know how things are going. And yeah, get your cubs out there. Got a couple months, maybe not this week if you're in the Edmonton region, because it's minus 42 or whatever it is right now.
You might want to give this week a miss, but you know,
yeah,
you could always go hiking.
Well, you know what to do on weeks when it's minus 42.
What's that?
Plan.
It's true. It's true.
Yes, this is a good week for planning.
Yes.
Whatever you're going to get up to. And, but anyways, yeah, shout out to JP and to the 36th Ottawa. It's a really cool challenge. And I do hope that more people are able to take part over the coming weeks. You got anything else, my man?
I thought I did, but it was like a lightning bolt. There was a flash and then it was gone. So I'll wake up in the middle of the night and remember what it was and be like, oh, I'll frantically send you a text at 3 a.m.
All good. Half decent chance I'll be up. William gets up to go to the bathroom around that time.
Ah, excellent. Wow. Mm-hmm. No, I'm good. I think I've, like I said, if it circles around before we're done, I'll let you know.
Okay. And of course, a big thank you, shout out to the folks at Scouting Radio for rebroadcasting our episodes to their worldwide scouting audience. If you're listening to us on Scouting Radio right now, please do consider to subscribe to the podcast, get our episodes directly to your listening device of choice. And hey, also feel free to reach out, get in touch, let us know that you're tuning in.
Scouter Ken.
Yes.
How does one get a hold of us these days?
Ah, I'm so glad you asked. It's the same way that you always do it. But if you're new here, scoutingstuffpodcast@gmail.com or at outlook.com are the two email addresses that you can send to. And I check both on the regular. You can also leave us a voice message. And this one is a little bit different, of course, now that we've moved over to a new website hosting. So if you just go to scoutingstuffpodcast.com, And it shows up better on a mobile device, but it is there on the desktop as well. So you go to scoutingstuffpodcast.com, and then you just look in the bottom right, and there's a little blue microphone icon. And if you tap that, you can record us a message, and we will be notified at scoutingstuffpodcast.com. You can also hit the contact link in the top bar, and that will let you send us an email as well. And of course, we're on Twitter, SSYSK Podcast. We are Facebook or Instagram.com/scoutingstuffpodcast. And you can find a link to our Discord server in the show notes. If you want to hit us up by any of those means, feel free. And of course, Discord is how we've been recording episodes for the last almost year and probably will be for the foreseeable future. So you're always welcome to join us for that as well. Always fun to have, you know, some extra conversation and banter, I think, at any rate. And finally, please do consider leaving a review for us. And in the show notes is the best way to do that, because it'll take you to a service called lovethepodcast.com. And that will tell you exactly where you can go to show us your love, to give us a review. And there's a few options, right? If you're on iTunes or Android, or there's a few different places. Not every podcast service accepts reviews, but there are a few that do. So there you go.
Excellent.
All right. Well, thank you for your time, Scott or Colin.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's probably good that we're wrapping up. I have a couple of cats that are standing outside my door meowing incessantly. I don't know if you've heard them. But
I have not heard them at all, but it is good to attend to such things.
Yes, yes, they are. It is the hour of the kitty, as I like to call it.
It is the feeding hour, yes.
Slow.
Okay, well, thank you for your time. My regards to your cat and to Cindy as well.
Same to you and your family.
And indeed. All right. And thank you out there for listening. And until next time, be prepared. We'll stop one and we will say...